Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let's Make a Deal is a TV show with which I'm sure some, if not many of you, are familiar. I've only seen a few episodes, and I'm not even sure if I watched an entire one, but there have been a lot of episodes since that show first aired in 1963. People dress in costumes. I'm not really sure why. And as I recall, if chosen, they basically accumulate some money, which they then use to wager on what may lie behind at least what used to be doors 1, 2, or 3. But now it could be a curtain, an envelope, a box, whatever. It can be something significant behind that door, like a car, or perhaps a dream vacation. Or it could be cash, and it might be something that's worth much less. What I think they now call a zonk. In short, you could come out really ahead of the game, or you could come out a loser, but at least you have choices. Well, today's gospel is not at all about a game. There are no costumes and there's no assorted prizes, cash, zonks, or otherwise. It's far more serious. In fact, it's an all or nothing situation. There are not three doors or curtains or whatever from which to choose. There's only one. And in the end, you don't get to make a deal because you have absolutely nothing with which to trade. The message is quite simple. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And when that door closes, there'll be no second chance. This teaching came about, as did many of Jesus' lessons, in response to a question, one where the questioner wasn't really looking for something quite so extensive as an answer, nor perhaps something that would strike so close to home. Jesus had a way of turning questions around so that the one raising the question was suddenly confronted with a much more serious matter or issue. In this case, it wasn't the number of people being saved. But it isn't just the questioner who gets wrapped up, caught up in Jesus' answer. It's you and I, the reader or listener. Those words also speak to us. Clearly they are words of law, but also words of promise and hope. For Jesus was deliberately on his way to Jerusalem and the cross. And there, as a result of God's grace, Jesus continues, people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. Last week, we were running with endurance, and hopefully we still are, looking to Jesus. This week, with trust in him, let us strive to enter through the narrow door. So how do we strive? Actually, it's not for the purpose that some may think. Striving that matters before God doesn't include collecting heavenly air miles for every good deed that we've ever done all through our lives. The balance of that ledger is quickly erased by the overwhelming weight of our sins. As we sit here somewhat comfortably on a Sunday morning, admit it. There have been times when we have chosen to do what was wrong, or simply to not do what we should have. There have been times that we've denied our Lord, failing to speak up for him when we had the opportunity. There have been times when we've hoarded to ourselves the blessings that we have, only miserly sharing them with others, especially if we judge them to be less than worthy. There were times that we have preferred to hold on to bitterness rather than offer full and free forgiveness, times we have broken vows and promises, and failed in our duty as parents, children, spouses, grandparents, friends. And then there are times that we have used his name in a less than respectful way, in shameful ways. And who even knows the sins of which we're not aware? Further, in striving, we won't ever be able to push our way through that narrow door because we happen to have belonged to a particular denomination, had our name on a church roster, and may have volunteered there for years. We won't fit through that narrow door either because we happen to believe that more traditional worship is the way to go, or think that only modern forms and songs, unburdened of old patterns or rituals, is what is needed most. When we do approach that narrow door, we'd never have our own strength, enough strength or muscle to pull it open or the key to unlock it. But by God's grace alone, it stands open to anyone who places their trust in Jesus. And contrary to fairly popular belief, not all doors lead to the same place. Of themselves, some doors, like success, popularity, knowledge, or wealth, could turn out to be simply dead ends. Some doors lead to places you really don't want to go, like the furnace room. It would be sad to have misspent a lot of energy and end up in the wrong office, so to speak. It's so easy to misunderstand Jesus' comments about striving to enter through the narrow door, thinking that somehow it's our efforts that are responsible for getting us into heaven. Scripture, when you read it all and let it speak to itself, is so very clear that this is not the way. The prophet Ezekiel says, "The soul that sins shall die." Paul in Galatians writes, "All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Clearly, no one is justified before God by keeping the law." There's only one way through the narrow door. And it has nothing to do with turning sideways and sucking in your midriff. Gratefully, when Jesus talks about the narrow door, he's not suggesting that you can only be so wide or you won't make it. And that's a good thing, too, because I never was convinced that when my doctor suggested I should lose 20 pounds, that that would get me through heaven's door that much easier. There is only one door. And only one way through it is through the one who in John referred to himself as the door, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." We get into heaven because Jesus strove like we never could, overwhelming every obstacle in his way and perfectly obeying the Father's will. But getting to that narrow door can still be quite the struggle. For us who live wrapped up in our human nature and continually battling against it. I think some of you might recall that Scripture sometimes refers to Christ's church as his bride. Well, I think all of us here have known brides. Have you ever heard of a bride that bought her dress months in advance of the wedding and then was anxious about fitting into that dress? Suddenly she's devoted to counting calories and sweat-breaking exercise, struggling along the way to resist the temptation to have that cheese-smothered baked pasta or another cream-filled pastry. Our striving for that narrow door requires a different kind of cleanse, a far more significant diet, one of good spiritual nutrition. You can't just hold in your stomach and hope to squeeze into one of heaven's white robes. It means striving to avoid the repeated temptation to give in to our cravings. Oh, you know, not for the usual sugar, fat, caffeine, or anything that tastes good. Rather, to the temptation to think of ourselves first and to ignore the words of the Lord which were given for our correction, our comfort, and our guidance. The struggle, as we strive to live as followers of Jesus, is often going to be far from easy. All sorts of things around us will tempt to lead us from that path to the narrow door. The devil will repeatedly be asking, "Did God really say?" Or he'll be taunting you with, "Surely you can't believe all that stuff. Look around you. More and more people don't care at all about worship or faith. And they're doing really quite well, it seems, don't you think? Don't you deserve to have your share of the fun?" Our own nature will be quick to agree. And on so many sides and from the world around us, there'll be plenty of support suggesting, even more proclaiming, that faith is merely a crutch. Organized religion corrupt, Christianity controlling and far too exclusive. Sadly, at times, such accusations will hold some truth. The Christian church is made up of sinners like me and you. We can be controlling and corrupt, but in Christ we know this undeniable truth. Christ's church is totally inclusive, appealing to and inviting every sinner of every tribe and race and culture, rich and poor, young and old, college graduate and dropout, business person and laborer, even us included. It is universal in that Jesus died for all. It is painfully honest in acknowledging and confessing the truth that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Indeed, today's gospel is not a game. There are no costumes. You didn't have to show up this morning dressed like a fridge or a dill pickle. There are no assorted prizes. You won't leave here with tickets for a dream vacation, but the promise of an abundant life now filled with the peace of Christ and heaven yet to come through Jesus is more than a good substitute. What is important is to stay on the path. We will have struggles like any athlete preparing for the Olympics, which come to an end today. The interesting thing when you look at the Greek here, the word for strive that is used, that's translated as strive, is the same word that is used to describe the strenuous efforts of an athlete as they agonize over the challenge to stay on task and to pursue their goal against and over any distraction or set by. Jesus speaks plainly when he says that not all are going to get there. Even some who, for all the wrong reasons, think it's a sure thing. But those who put their faith in Jesus shall overcome. They shall dwell and dine at heaven's feast. We'll slim down for that narrow door as by the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus makes us over. You can leave here this morning as spiritually trim and slim as ever. Notice I said spiritually trim and slim. As ever, knowing that the Savior has made you fit for that narrow door. Strive to stay slim in him. Learn from his word. That's not an option for Christians. Make it a daily routine, and if you've slipped at that one, it's time to start it again. There you'll learn from his love how more and more to love others, without always a first thought about myself. You'll learn to forgive as you have been forgiven, to care for others first. Strive by every means possible to live and to share the good news of life in him. The door is narrow, but it's open, and through Jesus we are freed to enter. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.